This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The calendar turning a new page means one very important thing for food-motivated listeners out there, a brand new edition of St. Louis on the Air's monthly discussion of changes in the STL region food scene. Here to do that are your trusted guides and my esteemed eating colleagues, Abby Larico, St. Louis Public Radio's morning newscaster and host of the Gateway Podcast. Hello.
Happy August.
And Jessica Rogan, STLPR's digital editor. Hi.
Hey, Lynn.
So Jessica's latest, which is live on our website, has a more complete list than what we'll make it through today. So to see all the spots that opened and closed in the last month, hop on over to stlpr.org/new restaurants. Now, speaking of your piece, Jessica, it is a puffy one. So give us the deets about the eats.
Of course, you're referring to Puff Pies, which is a new Chilean empanada spot in Princeton Heights. Owner Jose Olivares is making his mother's traditional recipe from Chile, along with some influences from his childhood upbringing in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And so if you've never had a Chilean empanada before, it is a little bit different. The thing that they are the most noted for is the de pino empanada, which is like a ground beef empanada with pieces of olives and hard-boiled eggs chopped up in there. And he told me that he likes to include not only ground beef, but like beef that he chops up himself to give it like this textural element to it.
And I understand, Abby, you are a huge fan of empanadas.
Oh, yeah. Jessica, you've shared your, dare I say, passion for dumplings on the show before. I feel like that's how I feel about empanadas. Like, they're just, like, I'll try any variety, and you wrap it in that dough. And so I'm very intrigued, though, because I don't think that I've had a Chilean style. So this is, thanks for sharing the what makes it kind of different.
Yeah, I had never had one until I went to the Festival of Nations. And I think I actually had his empanadas there. So that's where you got to start.
Cool.
Like having them at the stand there. And people would be like, hey, where can I get these not at a festival? And he'd be like,
light bulb.
Yeah, so they finally opened a spot. His family actually bought the location, like the building they're in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and it's a whole big like family affair. Like he told me his kids are helping like stamp the empanadas and like feeling like they're doing some really hard work, but having a good time.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And there's not much puff, right? Like this, these are really packed, aren't they?
They are really packed. And he, it's like a, it's more like a pie dough, but like a very dense bready one. He folds his very differently. So I'd only had an empanada that is like kind of like crescent shaped. And his are like square. They're pretty big. They're kind of like, I saw someone online describe them as looking like Hot Pocket.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like a calzone almost.
Like a calzone, but flavor's totally different.
I mean, if it's a breading of some sort wrapped around a savory filling of some sort, I feel like we're in, yeah?
Yeah, so like that is actually my love of dumplings, is just like stuff inside of bread. So this totally fills that
love it.
And portable.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're also serving a sweet option, right?
Yeah, so they have Basque cheesecake. So this is a Spanish cheesecake. Like the filling consistency is sort of similar to a New York cheesecake, but it's at the same time totally different. It has no crust, and the top is allowed to kind of burn a bit and caramelize. And it like has this kind of dip in the middle because like that sort of irregularity is part of the prize. So it's very different from American cheesecake. A lot of times they're more warm, too. So I did try it, and I can say very good.
Okay. And they serve Puerto Rican coffee as well?
And Puerto Rican coffee. And then also some, like, non-traditional fillings like spinach artichoke or buffalo. So if you don't, you know, if the olives freak you out, if for some reason that doesn't do it for you, like, you can get lots of different stuff. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the pastels that my family part of my family lived in Brazil. So when we have Thanksgiving, that was the filling that they would put inside. It was ground beef and olives. Mm-hmm. I think one more, maybe peas.
Yeah.
But it was put into like a mandu skin.
Oh, cool.
Right? And deep fried. And I'm like,
That sounds great.
That sounds so good. Well, as I was looking through the list for July, something that I noticed, to kind of go back to Basque cheesecake, is that there were a number of places with sweet offerings. And I want to take us to Lake St. Louis and Chris Miss Bake Shop. That's separate, K-R-I-S, Miss. And it's a vegan and allergen-friendly pastries and coffee shop. So it's gluten-free, dye-free, vegan. And as I was looking on Facebook, the owner of the shop says that she does not use peanut butter powder. Oh, she does use peanut butter powder in peanut butter items, but is very careful about cross-contamination. Mm-hmm. Everything is soy-free, no pea flour, but the plant-based butter does contain pea protein. I appreciate that detail because I found that anything that is pea-derived, like to me, smells very ammoniac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there are others out there who've experienced
I've never heard anyone say that, Elaine. But,
well, I have a reputation for kind of unique.
You're sort of a super taster.
Yeah,
possibly.
Wow.
And per St. Louis Magazine, this is a spot that built up a reputation and clientele at a farmer's market, Lake St. Louis Farmers and Artists Market. And they've also been incorporating alpha-gal friendly items into the menu. So that sounds like it's a way to satisfy an unfortunate part of the population and people who are dealing with dietary restrictions.
Yeah, and alpha-gal is becoming more and more common. It's that tick-borne allergy to mammalian products. And so we know we have a lot of ticks around here. So that's a need that more people have. So her level of transparency with the items on the menu is sure to be useful to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Abby, there's a spot in Baldwin that also offers some pastries and coffee. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, you're talking about Pana Coffee and Dessert Bar. And transparency is also really important on the menu there, too. Not necessarily because ingredients are dietary needs friendly, but because they're really intentional about making things in-house, down to like almond milk. Which I think is really cool because when you learn a little bit about the process of making things like that and shipping it, it can be a lot on the just general system. So this place has been getting a lot of buzz because of that intentionality, because of apparently it is on my agenda to stop by this week on the way to a doctor's office visit out there in the Baldwin Chesterfield area where it's located. Everything is apparently really, really tasty. And it's also been getting a lot of attention because it is in a commercial spot that's otherwise pretty residential. So people have been really excited ever since their business license was approved a few months ago to have a place that they can walk to. So this is, I should mention, too, this is the owner's name is Panas Stavrianos. So, yes, it's Greek. he comes from a local restaurant family, and it's a family-oriented business as well, with his mom making the pastries every day, they say on their social medias. And again, everything else is made in-house, the coffee syrups, just all the different pastries and menu items. And it's very bright and open, and it's a good place for people to bring their laptops and hang out. Once again, those conversations about those third spaces we keep having, this is a new one for folks in an otherwise pretty, again, residential area.
Yeah. So the next spot is back to cheesecake, Jessica. Not of the Basque variety, but there is something interesting about what's being offered at Rock Hill, right?
Yeah, so Van Housen House of Cheesecake. This is their second location. And, you know, the menu is quite unique here. My eye immediately got caught by the summer peach cheesecake because, you know, peaches are glorious right now. So I'm pretty sure I need that. I'm not as sure that I need the savory garden vegetable cheesecake or the rotisserie chicken cheesecake, but I would try them.
I mean, I am in. That sounds good.
Yeah. There's something about a savory dessert. I like spicy cocktails as well. My husband thinks I'm very strange for that. But I was intrigued when I saw this, the savory cheesecake. And apparently, Tyrone Van Hosen he's been very focused on developing a crust that sets his product apart from others, and that it's not meant to look pretty, but it tastes pretty dang good in your mouth. So the small portions also, he offers some
of those,
right?
Yeah, I saw that he had mini cheesecakes. So, you know, if you have wild flavors, I do think a mini cheesecake is like a fun way to get people to try it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
We're talking today about all of the new restaurant openings and closings in the St. Louis region. And per usual, I'm talking here with St. Louis Public Radio's Jessica Rogan and Abby Lurico. Well, let's talk about Maine's. And Jessica, there's a new spot in University City that you have some info about.
Yeah, so this is Bites, which is a new Mediterranean cafe. Owner Garam Suleiman and Sal Suleiman, a couple. They're from Nazareth, which is in northern Israel. And the name Bite is not only something you eat, but it is a reference to bites, a word in Arabic and Hebrew that means like house or home. And so they're trying to create that sense of like hospitality and home. Lots of really like beautiful from scratch made dishes, like things like shakshuka. Abby will be there. Falafel, a bunch of sandwiches, as well as like a coffee and sweet program. And, you know, just looking at their Instagram, I was like, what am I doing for lunch? I think I might need to go.
Yeah. I want to make sure that we talk about Granny Honey's place, and this is in Swansea. Their tagline is good food, big portions, made with love. And what appealed to me was first the story, the ownership of the erstwhile Bees Family Kitchen and the Cauldron Family Kitchen. This is passed among a group of women who knew one another partly through work at Hubble Weigman, and that was an electrical enclosures manufacturer that closed its Freiburg factory in spring last year. Now, Granny Honey's place opened the last day of July, and there were three things on their menu that caught my eye. First, fried chicken, always fried chicken, on Saturdays. And corn nuggets, which I had to look up. I didn't know what a corn nugget was. And pork fritter sandwiches. So there's sort of this representation of Southern and Midwestern. And then one other spot is Hanjo's Smashed Burgers in Chesterfield. We've talked about my love of onion rings. And they look like they've got some thick THICC onion rings there. It is 100% halal, so they've got beef, bacon, just really good-looking burgers. Now, we need to talk about closings because there are some big ones that have happened that people have really been talking about. Abby, talk with us about another sort of family business.
Yeah, and also related to burgers, actually. So Bailey's Range in Shaw was supposed to close after service on Saturday, but they actually made their way onto the July list because they closed a day early on Friday. So this was a spot, again, in, you know, in the Shaw neighborhood, very walkable to a lot of folks, and was a great place to bring family and groups for a long time because they had such a variety of burgers and the homemade ice creams and those things on the menu. They had announced, the Dave Bailey's Restaurant Group had announced a little while back that they were going to be closing, and in that same announcement, they shared that Bailey's Chocolate Bar, which is the most current concept in their space in Lafayette Square, was also going to be closing August 1st. So that'll be on next month's list because they, I believe, were open on Saturday still. But they're closing these locations because they're going to focus on Rooster, the breakfast cafes with two locations on South Grand and downtown, both of which kind of fill a breakfast void in their areas to a certain extent and have kind of a crepe-heavy menu. People who've been following the St. Louis restaurant news know that the Bailey's Group has made some decisions, had some kind of tax and financial-related stressors over the past several months, and so this refocusing on Rooster should hopefully help keep those places afloat.
And Salt and Smoke also had a couple of closures, right?
Yeah, don't worry, besties. They are keeping several locations open, but it seems even like a barbecue-loving place like St. Louis can only support so many of this barbecue concept. So Salt and Smoke announced the closure of their St. Louis Hills and Ellisville locations. And this announcement also led to a lot of discussion about the difficulty of expanding a concept so much like this, and being able to keep up quality and service standards at all these different locations. So, again, let's hope this proves to be a right size move for them there.
On that note of moves, another thing that many people were talking about is a move from St. Louis to Boston. Jessica.
Yeah. So I think St. Louis can officially get rid of saying St. Louis Bread Co. Bread Co. is dead.
Bread Co. is dead.
And the reason I say this is because Panera is moving its headquarters out of St. Louis County. They're going to an area outside Boston. You know, of course, like Bread Co. or Panera hasn't really felt super St. Louis for a long time, but this just felt like the last nail in the coffin.
Yeah, and I think that that's a sentiment that a lot of people share, because not only are they leaving St. Louis, but they're leaving St. Louis for a very expensive suburb of Boston. And so it, what might be offered as a relocation for their employees here is essentially a layoff option for a lot of folks. And so, yeah, you can discuss all you want whether or not it was the Bread Co. it used to be ever since they officially go by Panera, don't make their breads in-house, you know, make supercharged lemonades with questionable health outcomes. And now they're leaving St. Louis. So, bye.
Yeah, there it is.
How do you feel about Panera?
You know what's interesting? I actually had this conversation with somebody who brought me Bread Co. Panera bagels this weekend.
Oh.
And my husband was like, oh, one final Bread Co. bagel in this house.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And the person who brought him was like, what do you mean? Are you only going to support places that are local? Which I was like,
Yeah, let's do that.
It was a really interesting thing because you always hear people beating the drum about support local, support local, support local. And I'm like, we know that. But it just goes to show you that, no, it's still a message that bears repeating.
Well, supporting local we can do in many different ways. The Boom Boom Room downtown is relocating, so it is going to stay here. And Cyborgs on Market downtown West is closing, or has closed after 36 years there. But they're actively looking for a new spot. But we also want to attract something new. So we're going to close with this. The James Beard Foundation Award Ceremony has been held in two cities, New York and Chicago. But there's a chance it could be held elsewhere, including here in St. Louis. So what of this? Jessica, Abby, whoever wants to go first.
Yeah, so they're looking for a new location for the ceremony. And I think it should be St. Louis or another Midwestern city. And the reason I say that is because, you know, the food world really overlooks the bounty of restaurants in the Midwest. And I think having a presence here, specifically in St. Louis, you know, would help people, like, see like the richness of all the different things that we have in the United States. Mm-hmm. And also like St. Louis is cheap. Like you should have your event here.
Yeah.
It will save you a ton of money.
And I should say that I do have unofficial but confirmed affirmation that St. Louis is going to throw its hat in the ring to be considered by the James Beard Foundation. So I've been thinking about this one, and you know, it's been held at the Lyric Opera House in Chicago. That's about 3,200 seats. Just around the corner, the Fabulous Fox can hold about 4,100 people. Mm-hmm. If the foundation is looking for a highly accessible city, to Jessica's point, where you can even open up the awards to even more people, we have all sorts of venues for that. How many places have a soccer stadium right down the street whose food offerings are curated by a James Beard Award winner? Like, we got a heck of a sales pitch, I think.
Also, I mean, just to throw another, like, rose towards us, like, we really care. So, like, if you have your award ceremony in Chicago, I'm sure people will be excited. But, like, Chicago has, like, a bunch of stuff in it. You know, like, St. Louis will go all out for the James Beard Award ceremony if they choose to have
it. I agree completely. And just a quick note, my heart absolutely with those employees of Breadco, and also not just the headquarters, but locations. Like, there's still St. Louisans being employed at these various locations. But I think that's one other story that just goes to show, like, how passionately St. Louisans hold their food stories, and that Breadco was part of the St. Louis food story. The James Beard Awards being such a high-profile thing and being something that we celebrate so hard here, we absolutely would go all in.
And we have lots of stuff here, too. Abby Lurico is St. Louis Public Radio's morning newscaster and host of the Gateway Podcast. Jessica Rogan is STLPR's digital editor. Thanks for another informative and appetizing new restaurants rundown.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
And remember, all the spots we discussed today are in Jessica's latest story. You can find them and others we couldn't get to in this conversation in list form at stlpr.org/new restaurants.
This episode was produced by Elaine Chaw. Edited by Lila Halil-Bashich.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.